8 o'clock this morning. Four political groups in Rochford are joining together to try to throw out the Conservatives who run the council at next month's local elections. The United for Democracy group says its plan will save money and be more democratic. BBC Essex's political reporter Charlotte Rose has the details.
This wouldn't be the first time that a council in Essex has been run by a coalition. It already happens in Basildon and Colchester. But it is the first time political groups have come together before an election to make their pitch to voters. The Rochford district residents, Friends of Rochford, Liberal Democrats and Greens have agreed they won't stand against each other to increase their chances of winning. But they'll need to keep all their existing council seats and win four from the Conservatives if their idea is to work. The Conservatives say their plan will cost more money and be less efficient.
Dale Winton, the television and radio presenter who shot to fame in the 1990s as host of the daytime game show Supermarket Sweep, has died at the age of 62. He went on to become a fixture of Saturday night television, fronting the National Lottery show In It to Win It and Pets Win Prizes. His agent said he died at his home yesterday, but gave no further details. His friend, the presenter Cheryl Baker, said he was as entertaining in real life as he was on TV.
He wanted to entertain the public all his life. That's what he was born to do. And he did it, and he did it brilliantly. Even off screen, he was just as entertaining and just as much fun. So it's a deep shock to those of us who knew him. And even though you didn't know him, you felt that you did know him just by watching him on the telly.
An Essex teenager is due to appear at Chelmsford Crown Court today, charged with murdering the electrician John Pordage outside a petrol station in the city last summer. Bradley Blundell of Cromwell Close in Boreham is also accused of possessing a firearm with intent to endanger life, perverting the course of justice and handling stolen goods. The trial of two fairground workers accused of manslaughter by gross negligence following the death of a young girl on a bouncy castle in Harlow is due to continue today. Summer Grant, who was seven, was playing on the castle when it blew across a field and hit a tree in 2016. Yesterday, the jury was told the fairground attraction was packed into a trailer before police arrived on the scene. BBC Essex's Lee Milner was at Chelmsford Crown Court.
Jurors heard how police were cross that the scene had been disturbed before they could launch an investigation. The defendants, Shelby and William Thurston, deny all charges and the trial continues.
Essex police say a pedestrian seriously injured in a road crash in Braintree earlier this month has now died in hospital. He was 29 years old. Officers have been investigating after an Audi mounted the pavement on South Street on April the 8th. Two men arrested on suspicion of causing injury by dangerous driving have been released under investigation. Theresa May is announcing proposals for a ban on straws, stirrers and cotton buds in England as part of efforts to tackle plastic waste. She'll urge other Commonwealth leaders gathered in London to do the same. An outdoor swimming pool in Brightlingsea has won a campaign to stay open to the public. The Lido faced closure after becoming run down and disused, but a project run by local residents has revamped the site, which is now being run by a charitable trust. Tendring District Council, which owns the site, said it would lease it to Brightlingsea Town Council for a peppercorn rent. We'll be live there within the next hour of the programme. And it's been announced the Red Arrows will be performing on both days of this year's Clacton Air Show. Organisers say they're delighted the RAF display team will be involved in the event. It's taking place on August the 23rd and 24th. BBC Essex will be on Clacton Seafront for the whole air show with full commentary on those displays. In BBC Essex Sport, Manchester United have moved 4 points clear of third-place Liverpool in the Premier League with a 2-0 win at Bournemouth. Chris Smalling and Romelu Lukaku scored the goals to help United bounce back from Sunday's defeat to West Brom. And in snooker, three Essex players will go into this morning's first round draw of the World Championship. Ronnie O'Sullivan, Ali Carter and Stuart Bingham are all waiting to discover their first opponents at the Crucible Theatre in Sheffield. The weather for Essex, sunny and very warm for most of us today, with only gentle winds. Some coastal areas will have a refreshing sea breeze and the chance of some mist locally as well. Top temperatures today, 26 degrees Celsius, that's 79 in Fahrenheit. BBC Essex News and Sport, it's 7 minutes past seven.
Thank you, Jodie.
Breakfast with Sonia Watson and Ben Fryer. This is BBC Essex.
Morning to you. Now, the local elections are only a fortnight away, but if you live in Rochford, you might have noticed something a bit unusual on the leaflets coming through your door. Four parties in Rochford have come together to form a coalition. It's called United for Democracy, and they're hoping to throw out the Conservative group, which currently runs the council.
The Rochford District residents, Friends of Rochford, Liberal Democrat and Green parties have agreed not to stand candidates against each other, so they won't be competing for each other's votes. They will need to hold all the seats where they currently have a councillor and win four seats off the Conservatives if their plan is to work. Councillor John Mason is the leader of Rochford District residents and is speaking this morning for United for Democracy. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Why have you decided to do this, John?
Well, we're joining forces because over several elections, residents have urged us to do this so that there's a new alternative for a coalition to vote for. We've got three main focuses where we're all fully agreed, but otherwise the parties with national and other local views are unchanged. We decide on other issues by consensus, and if we were to be able to form a coalition in a no overall control council, then we would be running a committee system, which again runs by consensus.
Isn't this all a little bit complicated for your average person in Rochford, because you've got some issues that you share views on, and then you've got policies which perhaps you're linked to your parties on, and then you've got the committee element? It all sounds quite complicated.
It's not complicated at all. Residents have actually recognised the issues that are wrong with the current governing model that's in the council. They're certainly well fed up with the cabinet system. We did a survey, an independent budget survey, our own. 96% of people who participated in our budget survey wanted the cabinet abolished. And in particular, the budget implications were to save over £100,000. And given the state of council finances around the country and in Rochford, I'm not surprised that they agreed. But there's other issues. The cabinet system has given rise to an unprecedented level of secrecy. There's expenditure that the residents don't even know about. And I don't see why they should have to forensically examine accounts to find out. The Conservatives, a couple of years ago, abolished the right of call-in of decisions to full council. No one else except the cabinet can speak at cabinet meetings. So you can see why we want to return to the committee system. And residents do understand the difference.
Some people might argue, though, that there's a sort of question over who's ultimately accountable if you get rid of a cabinet system and move to more of a committee system. What would you say to that?
Well, I'd say we don't have a prime minister. And it's the leader of the council is not singularly accountable. If we were the administration of the council in a sort of rainbow coalition, then we'd be accountable to the residents and be happy to be accountable and explain to them when we've done good things. And if things go wrong, then we'll tell them as well. We won't hide things in secrecy.
Isn't this a bit underhand, though? Are you just sort of ganging up on the situation and trying to all oust the ruling Conservatives together?
We're trying to change things for residents. It's not about political power. It's about changing things for residents where they've asked us to get together and offer an alternative. It's up to them what happens. It's not up to us. We're offering it.
On a national scale, though, John, coalitions haven't proved hugely popular. Look what's happened to the Lib Dems when they teamed up with the Conservatives a few years ago.
Well, that was in national government. If you look across the Basildon, there's been some hiccups. We're actually offering a slightly different arrangement, but it does work. And why shouldn't it? We should all be there working for residents and dropping national politics along the way.
Councillor John Mason, leader of Rochford District Residents, and speaking this morning for United for Democracy in Rochford. Four parties who have come together to form a coalition. They're hoping to throw out the Conservative group, which currently runs the council. Councillor Cheryl Rowe is a Conservative on the council and joins us now. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
What do you make of the decision for this coalition to be formed?
I think it's going to be very confusing for the residents. I mean, let's take Hockley, for example. We have a very interesting lineup at the election here. Two Labour candidates, one Rochford District resident, two Conservative, one Liberal. Residents will be confused. The Rochford District resident candidate was a fully paid-up member to the Conservative Party. But as we didn't have space for her this year, she's jumped ship and been impatient and changed to Rochford residents. Clearly, they are struggling for people to stand for them.
What would you say then? You heard John talking about the fact that it's the cabinet system in particular has given rise to secrecy and a lot of people want the cabinet abolished. Can you see why they're sort of looking at taking this onto a different direction?
Absolute rubbish. Secrecy is rubbish. Most councils have an executive or cabinet system. It's more efficient, more effective, and decision making is quicker.
John did say 96% of people that they'd spoken to thought the cabinet should be abolished.
96% of how many people? Come on. Absolute garbage. You probably spoke to 100 people. Of course you're going to get those kind of figures.
Well, if he did speak to 100 people, Cheryl, that's still a fair proportion of...
Well, of course it is, because they're going to go and speak to the people that they know are going to say this.
What's wrong with changing it to a committee style? It's how it used to be done. What do you have a problem with that as well, or what's your problem with the committee side?
OK, I've not been on the council when there has been a committee system, but I have been the daughter of a father that was. He was on Rochford District Council back in the 80s, a committee system where there was no quick decisions, long into the night meetings, early hours of the morning, expensive, more staff. We're not going to be able to do this with the current staffing level. 4 years ago, we embarked on a radical change in the way Rochford District Council was managed. We had over 300 staff at that time and left over from the old committee system. And due to austerity brought by overspending from previous Labour administration, all councils were challenged by the central government to find ways of cost-cutting. These last 4 years have been challenging, but we believe due to fiscal management, we have become probably the only debt-free council in this country. And that says a lot as far as I'm concerned. The current administration is totally democratic and member-led. And that is the members of the administration-led, not the opposition.
Cheryl, are you worried genuinely about the threats in the local elections from this United for Democracy group?
No. It's got to be down to the residents. And if the residents want to see this change, then it's got to be down to the residents. But the Conservative Party have a good track record in Rochford District Council for the last 16 years. We've done an awful lot. We've got a sound council with no debt. I mean, not many councils can say that.
Thank you.
We've got a high level of resident satisfaction. You can tell that by what goes into the council. Complaints, there's hardly any. Compliments, there's quite a few. We've got the second highest recycling in the country. I mean, that has to be a fantastic achievement, and we only missed out slightly from being the first. We put council tax up by 12 pence a week for a bandy property. I mean, you know, if residents want to pay for a committee system, good luck to them.
Councillor Cheryl Rowe from the Conservatives there. Thanks for talking to us. And earlier you heard from Councillor John Mason, leader of Rochford District Residents, speaking this morning for United for Democracy. It's 7:16 now.
BBC Essex Travel.
Ben and Sonia on the BBC Essex Breakfast Show to get the latest on the roads. Russell Holding.
Yes, morning. Thankfully, Ben, there's not a huge amount going on, though I'm told there is an accident at the Army and Navy roundabout in Chelmsford. It's not that bad, to be honest, at the moment. Baddow Bypass, there is a shortish queue. A12 just outside Chelmsford looks slow towards London as you head away from the Boreham interchange for a bit, and then it queues from Ingatestone down past Mount Nessing in patches down to the M25. M25, not bad. It's a bit slow. There is a bit of a queue anti-clockwise passing junction 26 at Waltham Abbey. M11 looks slow still passing junction 7 at Harlow, and there's a queue on the the A414 on the Harlow side towards the motorway, which is back to Church Langley Way. Then there is a delay further down south of Junction 5 at Loughton down towards the North Circular. Then there are the usual...